An onain is someone who is exempt from mitzvahs. An onain is not the person who died. The person who died meisim chavshi min ha-mitzvahs. But the relatives who are taking care of the burial, so they have a status midrabanan of not being involved in mitzvahs. In other words, min ha-Torah, there are different halachas regarding karbanos, ma'aser sheni, that we don't have today. So what we have is the din of misa, meisa, mutu, lefanav, the beginning of the third parak in Brachas. It deals with the exemption of mitzvahs. An onain, as we'll see, is exempt and perhaps prohibited from doing mitzvahs. There's also an isser, there's an isser of basar v'yayin as well for an onain. An onain cannot partake in meat and wine. An avel can. In fact, the whole Chazal tell us one of the whole reasons why wine was created was ganachem es avel, to comfort the mourner. And some have a custom of a suda sabra, I believe, even to have meat at the meal. So basar v'yayin is permitted after the funeral, but the time of aninus between the death and the burial, there's an isser of basar v'yayin, there's an isser of meat and wine, and there's a petor mitzvah. So what is this petor mitzvah based on? So it seems to be a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, perhaps also the Tshuvas HaRashba. To Rashi, and others point out, there's a discussion, there's a concept of osek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. When a person is involved in one mitzvah, they're exempt from another mitzvah. So they're involved in the mitzvah of kvura, so therefore they're exempt from other mitzvahs. Others learn similar tirda, that you won't be able to focus on what you're doing because your mind's on the mace, and it's on sarche ha-mace, and therefore that's why you're exempt. So according to these schools of thought, whether it's osek b'mitzvah of a tirda, so then one can entertain. But if you feel you can transcend the situation, then you can and perhaps should do the mitzvah. However, Tosis quotes from the Yerushalmi, Tosis in Brachas, in the beginning of the third parak, that out kavod ha-meis, lo egel rosh, one is prohibited from doing mitzvahs because it looks like you're making a mockery of the dead. Like, how I can do mitzvahs, you can't. So therefore, out kavod ha-meis, honor to the dead, one does not do mitzvahs. I'm not getting into it now, but that's the whole discussion today with the Chevra Kadisha and other people. If you're no longer taking care of the meis, whether you have the status of an onan anymore. But regarding their general status of an onan is pater min ha-mitzvah. It seems to be a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, another Rishonim, on what is the nature of the exemption. So we paskin that, like the Bali Tosfos, like the Yerushalmi, out kavod ha-meis, and not only are you exempt from mitzvahs, but you are prohibited from doing mitzvahs. And in fact, though, that's the famous Pischei Tshuva, other Achronim, the Minchas Chinuch. What about in a situation where you have a mitzvah and an Isser at the same time? So for instance, the classical case is you want to eat bread. An Oni doesn't have to fast. An Oni is exempt from brachas as well. So let's say to eat bread, there's a mitzvah midrabanan of washing your hands before you eat bread. And as well, there's an issur drabanan to eat bread without washing. So what does an onain do? So the Pischei Tshuva quotes from the different achronim, wash your hands without a bracha. How does that help, wash your hands without a bracha? What kind of compromise is that? So, because the halacha is, we only make a bracha when we're fulfilling a mitzvah and a performance of a mitzvah. We don't make a bracha when we do something to avoid an isser. If we're just avoiding an isser, we do not make a bracha. So regarding the mitzvah midrabanan of washing your hands before eating bread, that you're exempt from, that's us to do. So why am I washing my hands then? I'm washing my hands because even though onan is pater from mitzvahs asay, it's pater from positive mitzvahs, but not from negative, not from an isser asay, not from a lav. And therefore, onan has to wash his hands so he's not in violation of eating bread without washing your hands. So the only reason you're doing it is to avoid the isser. Anytime you do something to avoid the prohibition and not for the mitzvah, we don't make a bracha. That's what the Minchas Chinuch raises as well regarding an onan during Sukkos. That summons an onan to this discussion, what should the onan do? Should he eat in the sukkah or not? Because the Minchas Chinuch raises, in addition to the mitzvah's asay of eating in the sukkah, there's perhaps an iser asay to eat chutzah sukkah, and an onan is not allowed to do prohibitions. So the Minchas Chinuch discusses the same issue, perhaps eat in the sukkah without a bracha. Again, why eat in the sukkah without a bracha? Because else the mitzvah's asay of doing the mitzvah you're exempt from. Why are you only doing the mitzvah? To avoid the iser of eating chutzah sukkah. So that if you're doing something to avoid an iser, you did not make a bracha. In fact, that's what the Rush writes in Chulin. We know the different types of washings. There's Mayim Rishonim, we're familiar with. We wash our hands before we eat bread. There's Mayim Achronim, where different customs of discussion among the Achronim, whether one is obligated to do Mayim Achronim today, whether since the Magen Avraham raises, since we don't have Melech Sedomis, maybe we don't. The Mishnah Berurah, others say you should do it. There are other reasons to do it. So different minhagim. But there's a concept of Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim. In fact, some even say we don't paskin this way, we don't make a bracha on Mayim Achronim. But some say you have bracha. Some even say if you don't have enough water for Mayim Achronim, then you can't even wash to begin with. We don't paskin that way. But just to show how some there are strong shitas regarding Mayim Achronim. However, the Rush raises another type of washing. That's what he calls Mayim Emsam, the middle waters. What is the middle waters? Washing hands in the middle of a meal? Well, kind of. But there's a prohibition in the Torah, Savasha Gadi Bachalavimo. There's a prohibition in the Chumash. It says it's three times one is not permitted to cook milk and meat together. And we learn out Echa one Le'isr Achila, Echa Le'isr Hana, and one for cooking. You can't cook Basa Bachalav, you can't eat it, you can't get benefit. So that's the Din D'Oraisa. There's a Minig brought down, the Gemara has strong language for it, Al Tzakana. The Gemara says one is not permitted to cook fish and meat together because it's going to cause a davar acher, it's going to cause some serious sickness. Rashi talks about it, leprosy. Either way, it's not a good thing to have fish and meat together, and that's how we'll, and that's again, it's a discussion whether Bizman Hazeh, the custom among Klai Yisrael is we are machmer to not to have fish and meat together. But there's a discussion in Rishonim Achronim whether since today, scientifically speaking, we don't find any danger, how far we have to go today. That's a machogas in the Shach and Kaz regarding, we know the halacha is if a little milk falls into the chicken soup. So there's a halacha bitu b'shishim, that milk becomes nullified and the food is kosher. What happens if a little fish falls into meat? So some say it's the same halacha as milk and meat, that we say it's batul b'shishim. Other achronim point out that the Gemara tells us chamira sakanta me'isura. We are more strict when it comes to danger than when it comes to iser. So therefore, when it comes to danger, we're more strict. So therefore, even if a tiny bit of fish falls into the meat, we don't eat it. In fact, that was the whole discussion with the OU, COR, in terms of this Worcestershire type of sauce. which had fish in it, and people use it on meat products. So it was, I'm not sure what they do today, but at one point they weren't mentioning anything about fish. So I've seen different bottles say "Oh, you fish," others that say "Oh, you." So I'm not sure what the current practice is, but I heard at one point Rav Schechter said that it depends if so. If it's more than so, obviously, if it's more than shishim, you're going to have all your fish on it. But let's say it's shishim. So Rav Schechter's shita was that it's a svek sveka, because one suffix is maybe we don't have to worry anymore. The Magen Avraham paskins that you don't have to worry about fish and meat. I think it's the Rambam as well. It doesn't list it. And even if you assume it is a problem, but it's a machlokes shach and taz, whether it's batur b'shishim. So therefore, if it was less than shishim, so maybe they didn't put OU fish on, even though, because I looked in the ingredients, I saw anchovies in it, and yet it didn't. So that must be based on the svek sveka. The Rav Schechter did OU's following. Again, it's constantly changing. I checked that up. I looked at it, I think, last summer when I was in the Catskills in Walmart, and that's what I saw, but I'm not sure if that is what the current practice is. So either way, there's a prohibition, a strong minhag today, atzakana, of not having fish and meat together. So in fact, that's how some bring down it. We know there's a famous minhag Yisrael of saying l'chayim, that people have a cup of wine, schnapps, a drink, and they say, l'chayim, where does it come from? So many different schools of thought. We gave a share on in the past. I'm sure we'll discuss it again in the future. But one reason nogeya to us here, so one school of thought is that since the minhag is to separate the fish and the meat, so after you have the gefilte fish or whatever fish you're going to have, and before you bring out the meat, so besides getting a new fork, new silverware, a new plate, so you know that you wash out your mouth, you wash off your hands. So one of the ways was you have a little drink, a l'chaim, in between to get rid of the taste of the of fish. So besides the l'chaim, one of the things you wash your hands. So that's what the Rosh says. It's mayim emsam, the middle waters. Why do we drink the middle waters? To separate fish and meat, so we shouldn't have the danger of fish and meat together. So therefore, that's why the Rosh points out, you never make a bracha, mayim emsam, because the only reason you're doing it is to avoid an iser. In fact, in that way, that's the Gemara emsachem, and it talks about habodeg sarach levarach. The Gemara writes the Avzayin, in the beginning, in the first perek, it talks about the mitzvah bitoch hametz and the mitzvah bedikas hametz. Bito b'lev sagi, you'll nullify it in your heart. You say, I don't want any chametz belonging to me. And then you do a bedika, or you do a bedika first, and the bito. But there's but the Gemara says, a bodek zarech sheyivarech. So what's the question? Of course, we know the Gemara tells us in Pesachim that before we do a mitzvah, usually before, sometimes after, but we make a bracha over lasi also. We make the bracha first, and then we do the mitzvah. The Gemara says the classic exception is a ger. Obviously, before they go into the mikveh, they're not Jewish, so they can't make the bracha on the geiris until after the mikveh. But generally speaking, you make the bracha before. So, a bodhi sarah kovar, so of course you got to make a bracha on medikas chametz. What's the havamina? So, the Rishonim discuss, the havamina was that the whole reason behind the main purpose of medikas chametz was to avoid the prohibition of al-yirah, al-yimata. In addition to not eating chametz on Pesach, in addition, there's a prohibition not to own chametz, a biblical prohibition of al-yirah, al-yimata. And some Rishonim learned that's like a biblical get there. But usually you find the rabbis make a fence around to protect the biblical law. But sometimes the Rav Yosef Engel, others point out that the Torah makes a biblical fence. So this could be one of them. Ba'yirah, ba'yimatzah. So how you do bedikas chametz, so you avoid the problem of ba'yirah, ba'yimatzah. So therefore, I might have thought the whole reason for the mitzvah, the main purpose of bedikas chametz, is to avoid the iser. Kamash malano, bedikas chametz is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. And also, that's a discussion regarding as well the issue of a sisa maka. There's a mitzvah in our Torah of building a, if you have a flat roof and people use the roof, so you put a fence around your roof, or perhaps the modern-day equivalent, a fence around the pool. So there's a discussion among the Rishonim and Achronim, do you make a bracha on the mitzvah maka, and what bracha do you make? If you do make a bracha, but what's one of the, so one of the main nekudas here, and whether you make a bracha or not, because maka is a sasan dam v'secha, that it's to avoid bloodshed, to avoid people shouldn't fall off the roof and die. So obviously those who say you don't make a bracha seem to say the main function of it is to avoid the Yisrael Sasan Dhamma Vesecha. The others who say you do make a bracha, they focus on no, there's a independent and positive mitzvah the Torah gave to build the makkah. So that's it. So we find this klal, and that's what the Pesachei Tshuva and other achronim write regarding Anina. So an onin is patur min ha-mitzvahs, and we paskin not only is he patur min ha-mitzvahs, we paskin an onin is prohibited from doing a mitzvah. And that's why we find that when it comes to sitting in the sukkah or washing the tigel shadayim, he has to wash his hands without a bracha, because anytime you're doing an act to avoid an issa, you don't make a bracha. And that's also, that was the concept of mayim emsam, the middle waters between fish and meat. And that was the havamin of the Gemara of Abodei Gzorah Kovarach, that maybe Bedikas Chametz is only coming to avoid an iser. And that's perhaps also the Machlokes Rishonim Achronim regarding Vasisa Maka Gagecha, putting a maka on your roof, whether you make a bracha or not, whether it's an independent mitzvah, or whether it's just there, its primary purpose is to avoid an iser.